Today we are going to discuss about how to treat guests, receiving Vaishnava guests, how to receive them, and how to treat guests and life members. This one is, a Vaishnava's heart is very pure, and a pure-hearted person is extremely magnanimous. So one's Vaishnavism will be judged by the degree of his magnanimity. Vaishnava is a person who is very pure-hearted, and pure-hearted means broad-hearted person. He is ready to embrace the whole world. In his eyes, everyone is important and everyone is respectable. And that's why he is always ready to offer respects to everybody else. So there are a few points about how to treat guests. Any guest who visit our temples is Srila Prabhupada's guest. As his servant, it is our pleasure and duty to serve him. Sometimes, due to our bad consciousness, we think that the guests are a pain in the neck. But that is actually not a Vaishnava way of looking at the guest, and it's not even a gentlemanly way to look at a guest. We should think that the guests are our very respected guests. The people, those who come to our temples, they're very, we should be very happy to see them. Prabhupada structured this International Society for Krishna Consciousness to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And Prabhupada built these gorgeous temples and guest houses, not for us to eat and sleep. Quite often Prabhupada used to very emphatically make this point that these beautiful large temples and guest houses are built for inviting people to come to us so that we can preach to them. But if we think that whenever a guest comes, either he is going to share or he is going to claim a part of our comforts, and we have to share it with him, that is not really it's not at all proper, and Prabhupada's mission will be completely lost if we harbor that kind of mentality. We should think that all the guests are actually potential living entities, those who are ready to receive Krishna consciousness. We are here to preach, and whenever a conditioned living entity comes, we must feel that here is a person who we can preach to and shower Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy onto. Point two. Yes.
Questions now?
Okay, yes.
I just want to bring up the question of like some practical things of dealing with guests in a city temple, especially in the West. It's like on Silver Street in London. And, we get some real characters coming in that place. We get some real characters that come in that place. They're like practically crazy. Drug addicts, people just burnt on mental energy.
Right.
And it's rather difficult to actually be in the mood of being very magnanimous and helpful, although we have to do that with most of the people, and at the same time we have to be a little firm with.
Right. So a Madhamadikari devotee, a preacher, is a Madhamadikari devotee, and he discriminates. Right. He discriminates also among the guests. Who is a first-class guest, who is a second-class guest, who is a third-class guest, and so on and so forth. Now, if a drug addict comes, we at least we can give him some prasad. Like the way we treat, Prabhupada said that less intelligent people, those who are not intelligent, intellectually advanced enough to accept Krishna consciousness, we must give them Krishna prasad. So, and at least that's, if we do that, that will benefit them. And also that will somehow gradually bring them into Krishna consciousness. It's not that when a drug addict comes, we should open the guest room and say, well, why don't you come and stay here for a few days, right? No, we have to discriminate. We have to discriminate. Yes, Rishikesh Guru.
I was just going to say, if you didn't want that person to come, then you would, of course, give him the prasadam. You would discourage him from coming by not giving him prasadam. If you didn't want the person to come to the temple anymore, for certain reasons, because of his behavior, then you wouldn't give him prasadam any longer. Or
I see, if somebody's behavior is very obnoxious, then of course we have to tell him that, please don't come. As I said, like, we have to...
range is very wide.
Right. As I said, like, we have to discriminate. But the general mood should be of broad and inviting.
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm that.
Yes.
Yeah. Do that naturally, but...
Yeah. Poonachandra Prabhu?
Just now, the morning, the Chief Justice, you can be showing the spread of giving the garden and prasad and taking care of you. Right at the late, I got this on command, who is collecting for the yatra. He says, showing to the respect to the material people, there's respect to the stool and key. I don't know what is in the world, what is that?
What was that? Anyway, somebody just commented, and the Chief Justice of UP came, and he was given a lot of attention. But after he left, somebody commented that we are offering respect to pigs and stools and...
Bhaktisiddhanta
Prabhu told?
Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhu told is the... This is the... He said that if you respect the material people, that's when you respect the stool and pig.
Well, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his programs, he invited the Chief Justice, the district magistrates, and even the Muslim, respected Muslim people. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur never said that we should respect only to the, or show respect only to the Vaishnavas, and we should treat the materialistic people as dirt. We have to, we are preaching, so in order to preach, we have to show respect to the materialistic people.
I just told you tell them, then he said that, anyway, what are the scriptures I told you? Do you follow or not for the scriptures?
Anyway, what can be done? Different devotees may have different opinions. Any occasion on
this? It's just a misinterpretation, because the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see that Sanatana Goswami, he was reading the Bhagavatam, and when the Yavana the Muslim king, all the Brahmins stood up and gave respect because they saw
he's a respectable
person. Therefore he's
and besides that, Mahaprabhu's instruction is Amanina Manadena.
Yeah, exactly.
So why should we be, I don't know which scripture said that don't show any respect to materialistic people. I think something is wrong with that person's conclusion. Yes, Vasudev Prabhu?
Obviously, according to our understanding, we should see that this person is not a devotee and he may not be as respectable as a devotee. In that sense, we should not be blind and think that because he's the president of this or that, therefore he's...
No, actually Prabhupada's mood and also Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mood was that these people do care for respect. So give it to them.
So yes, like, in this way, in a practical way, for preaching purpose.
Obviously, we don't treat him like a devotee. We treat him from another, like here's a person, he's a very influential person, and you know, our society may benefit a lot from him. So, giving him some respect, we don't have to really lose anything. But we can gain a lot. Yes, Kalavinda.
Just on that point you were mentioning before about how the Bhajavadi Hari discriminates, yes. Also another qualification of Majjhimottakara, you just discriminate and preach us accordingly.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, that's. I'm sure everybody understands. Point two, the arrival of a guest is a chance to introduce a conditioned soul to Srila Prabhupada or relish Vaishnava association. Like, if a person is innocent, then we consider that here is a person who we can preach to. And if that guest is a Vaishnava, then we become very, very jubilant that here we can associate with a senior devotee or here we can associate with a Vaishnava. The Vaishnava feels joy and gratitude to be blessed with such an opportunity. Like yesterday when we were discussing about the practical demonstration of Purushottam Prabhu receiving Ramapad Maharaj, and one point we made was that Purushottam Prabhu did not express enough joy in seeing Maharaj. So actually, devotees become very, very joyful when they see another devotee. And we have seen that. Practically, we have seen that. Like when the devotees meet, they become so joyful. Especially when they meet after a long time. Yes?
Well, I have a question in regards to that. Some devotees have a more outgoing nature. Some devotees are more reserved in their nature. So, some devotees are more silent, more introspective, more kind of secluded. So,
we are talking about the general mood. Like a person may be reserved, but that doesn't. But if he is reserved, it's not so bad. But if he's cold, then it's bad. A cold means, you know, devoid of feelings. Vaishnava's heart is like a ever-changing, you know, ocean of mellows. It's constantly the mellows are changing. And that is how the Vaishnava derives all the joy. Sometimes all the time he is feeling very ecstatic due to his exchanges with other devotees. I mean, if we want to be joyful, how are we going to be joyful? Just sitting under a tree and meditating on the impersonal Brahma? No, that is not the source of our joy. The source of our joy is derived from our loving exchange. And that loving exchange begins with the devotees. And as we increase that loving exchange, more and more joyful we become. And that is how finally we become qualified to have a loving exchange with Krishna. If we can't have a loving exchange with devotees, you can be rest assured that we won't be able to have a loving exchange with Krishna. Actually, we approach Krishna through his devotees. And to think that I don't like the devotees, but I love Krishna, that's a Kanishtha Adhikari plan. A Kanishtha Adhikari thinks of me and Krishna and nobody else. But a Madhyam Adhikari has a consideration. Krishna, Krishna's devotees, innocent people, and my exchange, my approach to them. For the innocent, he has compassion and he preaches to them. For the devotees, he has friendship. And for Krishna, he has love. Point three, Krishna consciousness is synonymous with personalism. We need to step beyond bodily concept and remember that everyone is part and parcel of Krishna and very dear to him. Practically we show this that's what I just mentioned. Like Krishna consciousness is a very personal movement. It is not at all impersonal. There is no room for impersonalism. Impersonalism means inert. But Krishna consciousness that leads to ecstasy is very dynamic. It's not static. That's how Prabhupada used to explain ecstasy. Ecstasy is moving. It's very dynamic. It's animate. So that's how we derive that ecstasy, the joy, by our exchange. Like for instance, if we are living in a big palace, all alone, then we may be peaceful, but we may not. We won't be joyful. You may be living in a palace with a lot of opulence, lot of comfort, but you are all by yourself. How will you feel? You may feel quite peaceful, right? But will you feel joyful? No. If you want to experience joy, then what do you do? You invite your friends, come and let's have a party, right? And then you become joyful. And more the merrier. The more you can have that exchange, a loving exchange with your friends, the more joyful you become. So, in Krishna consciousness also, we follow that principle, or we practically imply that principle, and we derive our joy by our loving exchange with other devotees, and finally with Krishna. And actually, our loving exchange with devotees is non-different from our loving exchange with Krishna. Matchitta madgata prana bodhayantascha parasparam kathayantascha maam nittam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Those who are my devotees, those who have surrendered their life and soul to me, when they meet each other, they become very, very happy. And they kathayantascha maam nittam, they constantly talk about me. And that is how they derive their pleasure. Now, practically we show our feeling towards other devotees or even other living entities. As I mentioned, like two considerations here. One is a devotee and the other is an innocent conditioned soul. Now, for the innocent people, we preach. And to the devotees, we have exchange of Krishna consciousness. Welcoming the guest with sweet words, a seat, and prasadam. If no prasad is available, at least a glass of water should be offered. Should welcome the guest with, first with sweet words, Purushottam Prabhu. And everybody must remember that. Oh, how nice to see you. I mean, actually, karmis are very expert like in this kind of dealings, and we have to learn from them. Sometimes, yes, for a karmi, it is artificial, whereas for a devotee, it's spontaneous. Like, say, for instance, when you meet somebody who you really love, how will you feel? Say you met your friend after, a very, very intimate friend after 6 years. How you feel? You feel, of course, I mean, our friends are the devotees. So if we see a devotee after 6 years, how do we feel? We feel very joyful. And how do we express our joy? We don't have to artificially express it. It naturally becomes manifest. And the first expression is the sweet words. Because that is the first thing that we offer to him. Oh, how nice to see you. Where have you been all this journey? And then along with that comes a very, very warm embrace. It happens, I mean, we see when we meet the devotees, that's how we respond. Yes, Maharaj?
I was reading in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada saying, you find the two stages of devotional service is one is regulative, and the other is the affection. So it seems that generally we're on the regulative stage, but the affection is not so spontaneous.
Right. That's the neophyte stage, Kanishtadika platform. But we have to transcend the Kanishtadika platform. And our dealings should become spontaneous. Vasudev,
if you don't feel on the spontaneous platform for one reason or another, you had some problem in the morning, somebody comes, should you force yourself to be kind
yeah.
and affectionate?
At least we have to. Yeah, if we don't feel that spontaneous affection or warmth, then at least we should be polite. That is a must. Actually, a Vaishnava is a gentleman, and a gentleman is polite. Like, Vaishnavas are so great that even if an enemy comes to his house, he treats him like a friend. That is the sign of a Vaishnava. Actually, there's a very nice story regarding that about a great Vaishnava called Lala Babu. He was a very, very big landlord. And he, after coming in contact with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, he gave up everything. And he started begging from door to door. And the person he took shelter of was postponing initiation, would not give initiation. And Lala Babu was wondering why. And he started thinking, probably I haven't become qualified. And so he was trying to become more and more humble, more and more submissive. And finally, he took up the occupation of a beggar. He used to go door to door and beg, chanting Hare Krishna, and he would go door to door and beg. But there was another rival landlord. He had his long-standing rivalry with him. And that his house he used to avoid. Because although he became humble, but you know, like that, still that residue of the false ego was there, and he couldn't go to his house. But then one day he thought, you know, why shouldn't I even go to his house? And so he just goes to his house begging. And then all the news reaches to that man. And that man just comes running out to meet him. And both of them embraced. And that day his guru decided to give him initiation. So that is how we can see that a Vaishnava is friendly even to his enemy. And that's how the enemies become friends. And Vaishnavas do not have any enemy.
What's the name?
Lala Babu. Lala means usually a big merchants are called Lalas.
Yeah, I think that's in Prabhupada's report.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we see that in our temples devotees are very eager to collect funds and guests. Mm-hmm. I mean, wondering what's the etiquette there? Even devotees and non-devotees alike sometimes.
Yes, I think in our part it's kind of short-sightedness. Because if a guest comes and if he becomes our target for collecting money, then you just give a three to the first person and let him hand it over to the room. So if we do that, then actually we run the risk of burning that person out. But if we win the person over with our nice dealings and good behavior, warm, sincere concern for him, then probably that man would voluntarily give a lot of money. So I think in our part it's kind of short-sightedness to consider that these guests are our targets for making money, getting some donation. Because you see, if you get the soul, then everything will come along with it. Along with the soul come his body, his mind, and his money, everything. But if you get his money but don't care for his soul, then he'll become very bitter. So I think our main concern should be to get the person, make him into a devotee, give him the ultimate benefit of Krishna consciousness. Yes, Kalavinda?
Yes, but this is the same sort of thing that we're just saying. It's not necessarily what we're trying to do. Don't care about the idea of getting money, care about the idea of, you know, action and soul.
That was unfortunate, and we can see that it caused so much damage. And now, of course, gradually that mood is changing. Prabhupada's intention was to give out the books, and books were actually the mediums or media for preaching. giving out a book meant giving out Krishna, because a man sometime or other would read the book and his whole life would change. But if we run after his money, then we end up losing the person and risking our Krishna consciousness as well. Be prepared to give, we should be prepared to give our time and sincere concern. That's a very common thing that practically all of us experience. Actually, all the devotees are very busy. Everybody has so much to do. Like, first of all, to chant 16 rounds takes a lot of time. Right? It's our, it puts us into an anxiety. How are we going to finish the round? How are we going to finish the round? And in class, we have so many different things to do. Every temple is actually short of manpower. So every devotee is kind of overworked. And then when, and usually we tend to think that we do not have the time to attend a guest or speak to a guest. But we should realize that our time is meant for preaching. And this is one of the most important service that we have. It doesn't matter, and usually devotees tend to think also that, well, the guest in charge or the temple president should take care of the guest. Not me, I don't have the time. And it's not my responsibility. But actually we must realize that to preach to the guest, to treat the guest well, is everybody's duty. It's a preaching movement, and it is everybody's duty to preach to a eligible candidate. C. Remaining Krishna conscious in our discussion and dealing. Yeah. We must make it a point that we, when we speak to the guests, we must talk about Krishna and Krishna consciousness for subjects pertaining to Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we, due to our lack of confidence, we tend to stoop down to their platform. Oh, how is your son? You know, I met your uncle the other day and he is such a nice person. These are actually trying to adjust with the person. Trying to compromise with him. Actually, we don't need to compromise. Like Prabhupada, no matter whoever came, Prabhupada did not get into any mundane discussion. Straight away he went down to Krishna consciousness. So we must make it a point also. So nice that you came to our temple. Come, have a darshan of the deities. You know, this is Krishna himself. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of his causeless mercy, expanded himself so that we can see him with our mundane vision. And then you can explain to him, you know, what it, I mean, that how one becomes free from all his sinful reactions just by seeing the deity of the Lord in the temple. And then the benefit of offering obeisances, what Krishna prasadam is, come, let's take some prasadam. So I mean, we can always, right from the very beginning, we can just talk about Krishna consciousness. There's no need to compromise. Here the person came to our temple, he knows what to expect. He knows that we are going to preach to him. Well, if he comes to our restaurant just to have some have a lunch or dinner, then it's a different thing. But when he comes to a temple, we can go straight ahead. Thanking the guest for his visit and inviting him to please come again. So that's also another very important consideration, that our parting should be very, very memorable, so that the person remembers it all the time. We must be very polite and invite him to come again. Yes, Priyavrata.
Is it good also to walk the guest out?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yes. Actually, when, especially when a Vaishnava comes, or all we can say, when a guest comes, we must go out to receive him. And when he is about to leave, then we must go with him up to the door. When Sanatana Goswami used to travel from village to village, the villagers used to walk with Sanatana Goswami used to stay in the village one night, and next morning he would leave. And the whole night he would have Ishtagoshti with the villagers. And then in the morning he would leave the village. And when Sanatana Goswami would leave, the whole village would walk with him. And then they would go miles with him. And finally Sanatana Goswami would have to send them back. Now you go back. You have so many things to do, so don't come any longer. And those people would just stand there, letting Sanatana Goswami walk ahead with tears in their eyes. So this is how sweet the Vaishnava dealings are. And someday, if we can develop this kind of dealings with each other, it will be so wonderful. And actually, we have come here to relish that. We have come here to experience transcendental bliss. And this is how we experience transcendental bliss. Not by getting on each other's case and backbiting and fault finding. And that simply embitters our relationship and pollutes our hearts. Yes, Anand?
Yeah, I was listening and David Prabhupada was saying that actually Krishna consciousness is the business of the heart.
Right. Very good. Yeah. Actually, our body, our consciousness has got two centers. One is heart and the other is head. Now, head is the seat of the mind. And mind is the center of the senses. And heart is the seat of the spirit. So when we deal with our head, that's all material dealings. Bhajore bhajore amar mon oti mando. Render service unto the Lord, because your mind is very bad. So anything that comes from the mind is bad. Because the mind is the center of all our senses, is the internal sense. And the seat of the mind is the head. So when we deal with our head, too much planning, too much scheming, it becomes very, very unpalatable. But if we deal with our hearts, then it becomes very, very wonderful, very sweet. Yes, Rishikesh Prabhu.
Sometimes I've heard it said that the heart and the mind is the same.
No. You see, the first heart is the source of consciousness. Because the spirit soul is there and the spirit soul is coming from consciousness. But then the consciousness is projected through the mind. Right? It goes to the head. But a devotee, he eliminates the head part of the... Like he doesn't plan, he doesn't think, he doesn't worry about what others are going to think or what's going to benefit him or what's going to make him lose. So Prabhupada is very clearly pointing out that this receiving guests in a nice way and trying to give them Krishna conscious is actually one of the most wonderful transcendental service. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes very, very... Prabhupada says Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always present there. This movement is Sankirtan movement, and wherever Sankirtan is performed, Mahaprabhu is present. And this is Sankirtan. So in this regard also, we can consider the first four points, the general points that we discussed just a little while ago. Point five is spontaneous service is encouraged in the visitor by the sensitive, pure preaching of the devotee. This reminds me of that point, like, should we collect money should we make them a target of our collecting money? Like, our main intention should be that we should be very sensitive about the visitors and we should encourage them instead of trying to get everything from him and run away. We must remember that first time he came, but this is not going to be his last time. This is first time and we want him to come here again and again. And our mood should be like that. Yes, Vasudev.
If we try to get something from him, especially money, and it may be the last time.
Right.
It will be the last time because it was not inspired.
Yeah. Right, that's true. And that's why I say it's very short-sighted. Okay, I got 100 rupees from him. Jai. But the thing is, probably we could have got 100,000 from him if we cultivated him properly. And this is one thing special in India. I mean, most of our life members are very, very well-to-do people. But once we got a few thousand rupees from them, and then that was it. We stopped cultivating them. We don't even send, we didn't care about them. Whereas these people, if we preach to them properly, and if 1% of our total life members were made into devotees, we would have had about 1,000 devotees just from our life members. Point 6. The natural reciprocation of the soul to such engagement is a desire to share the happiness experience. How does a devotee preach? Why does a devotee preach? Devotee is like a doctor. Devotee is like a doctor. A doctor knows, doctor sees the people are suffering from some disease and he feels the urgency to give them the medicine. So we are seeing people are suffering all over the world and the joy of Krishna consciousness that we have experienced, we simply want to offer it to others so that they can benefit and we can share our joy with them. The natural reciprocation of the soul to such engagement is a desire to share the happiness experienced. The expert preacher will facilitate this by offering prasad, temple invitation, or literature to the guest to distribute to his friends, relatives. I remember when I was just a new devotee, we were in Kumbh Mela 12 years ago, and we were in Kumbh Mela, you get millions of people, and we were distributing books, and there was one devotee who was also my friend since that time, is Adri Dharan Prabhu. He's the temple president of Calcutta. Very, very wonderful devotee. Adri was distributing hundreds of books every day. And I could barely distribute 50. And I used to wonder, why? How come Adri distributes so many books? And then one day I decided to watch. And I could see that he was really in ecstasy. He was in ecstasy and he was just, I mean, his ecstasy was so obvious and everybody could feel that he was eager to share his ecstasy with every one of them. And people just couldn't resist it. He was so happy, so joyful. And that is the sign of a good preacher. He's so joyful that it becomes obvious, or it becomes rather contagious to the people around him. Just by his contact, they develop ecstasy too. And people, as I said, like we are dealing with living entities and they reciprocate. First of all, they understand and then they reciprocate. Receiving Vaishnava guests, we should also invite pure devotees to our homes. Offer them prasad and be prepared to please them in all respects. This is called Bhumte Bhojayate Chaiva. It's from Nectar of Instruction. So this instruction Prabhupada gives to the householders. The householders should always invite more advanced devotees to purify their home and purify their consciousness. Like when they invite a guest, then their house becomes transformed into Vaikuntha. Grihete jedino, jedino grihe bhajano dekhi, grihete goloko bhai. When devotees come to my house, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that, and they talk about Krishna. If my house is, then it appears that my house has become transformed into Vaikuntha. So it's very important that the householders must invite the senior devotees to their houses from time to time, especially when somebody comes to the temple, a visiting sannyasi or advanced devotees. It will make a very sweet exchange if they do that. Like sometimes I do that when I go to the West. Like so many of my friends have become householders that I make it a point to visit them. And they reciprocate very nicely.
I'd like to make an observation here. So once, in the previous stage, so once Vaishnavism will be judged by the degree of his magnanimity.
Vaishnavism will be judged by the degree of his magnanimity. The more more advanced the devotee becomes, the more broad-minded he becomes.
But this is
more
like
magnanimous.
As neophytes, let's say that we can actually draw a very drastic line when it becomes to consider advanced devotees, like saying, well, we can see a very senior, very advanced devotee, but he's not preaching like this Prabhu, so therefore he's not advanced. But I think in our position, we're not capable of understanding who's more advanced and who's not less advanced.
Yeah. So, first of all, it's not the business of a junior devotee to judge a senior devotee. And that itself is a transgression of etiquette. But at least when they see somebody is very magnanimous, then they can immediately conclude that he is an advanced devotee. If somebody is not so magnanimous, apparently, then they should think, well, we don't understand. He is an advanced devotee. But their devotees display their mood in display their advance. Some devotees may even hide his internal advancement.
Because that has to do also with the desire of Krishna. We have the case of Varkishore Das Balaji, who was very advanced devotee, but his mood was...
Well, magnanimity doesn't simply depend on preaching. It depends on dealing. But actually every Vaishnava is a preacher. All the advanced devotees are preachers. To think that Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj was not preaching, that would be a very, very gross mistake. Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj is such a wonderful preacher that everybody, all the Vaishnavas at that time, recognized him as the most advanced devotee. So much so that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur became his friend. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted initiation from him. Right? I was just going to make another point. Like, once a king came to Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and he was asking him, what can I do for you? So Babaji Maharaj said that, there is nothing that I need. But he kept on insisting, that please tell me, please let me render some service unto you. Then finally Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, that if you really want to do something for me, then just sit here and chant Hare Krishna. Give up everything, just sit here and chant Hare Krishna. So, how great a preacher he was, we can see from this. He was very, very furious. He was a very fiery preacher. One day he came. He used to wear just a loincloth. And he was completely renounced. So one day he came to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house wearing a fine dhoti and a fine dress. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur got very surprised. He said, what happened to you, Babaji Maharaj? Today you are dressed like this? Babaji Maharaj said, actually wearing the dress of a Babaji, all these nonsense people are committing so many offenses. So I decided not to dress like a Babaji, so that otherwise people will think me also to be one of them.
So this is how he was very, you know, subtle preacher. Yes, Vasudev.
It can be said that the potency of a real preacher is that he doesn't even need to go out, people come to him.
Yes.
Yes.
That's true.
That he is a real preacher, real potency.
And actually, Prabhupada made all these arrangements. Like, people are coming to us. Now we have to just preach. Like in Mayapur every day, thousands of people are coming. In Vrindavan, thousands of people are coming. So I'll just stop now. Thank you all very much.